Good morning. My name is Tiffany Griffith. Welcome to East Shore Unitarian Universalist Church. I am a former member of the Board of Trustees here at East Shore, and I would like to extend a special welcome to any newcomers who are with us this morning. And I encourage you to spend some time getting to know us. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, we invite you to sign up at the greeters table. You'll find additional information at the pamphlet in the narthex, at the pamphlet rack in the narthex. Our greeters will be happy to answer any questions, and please do join us for coffee and delicious snacks after the service in the sanctuary. Oh, also a reminder, if you have anything that makes noise, now is definitely the time to silence any devices that would be disruptive. Now, sharing the words of Eric Resley, Unitarian Universalists have different religious beliefs, but share a common faith. We know that life is holy, that each person is worthy, that when we join together to plant the seeds of love, the world blossoms. Now, let us be present for one another in worship and love.
Good morning. My name is Mary Mason, and this is River Call by Manish K. Mishra Marzetti. Between rocking the boat and sitting down, between stirring things up and peaceably going along, we find ourselves here in community, each called from many different journeys, many different life paths, onto this river road. Some are here because the rocking of the boat has been too much. Too much tumult, too much uncertainty, too much pain. Some are here with questions about where the boat is going, how best to steer it, where this journey ends. Others are here as lovers of the journey, lovers of life itself. Here in front, beside, behind, each a passenger, each a captain. Doing the best we can. Rest here in your boat with me, the river calls. Listen to how I flow, the sound of life coursing all around you. Let the current hold you. Let the current guide you. The river that gently flows through your soul whispers, come, let us worship. Kathy, could you come light the chalice? Oh, there you are. I'm looking all over. This is Each Day by Kristen Harper. Each day provides us with an opportunity to love again, to hurt again, to embrace joy, to experience unease, to discover the tragic. Each day provides us with the opportunity to live. This day is no different, this hour no more unique than the last, except maybe today, maybe now, among friends and fellow journeyers, maybe for the first time, maybe silently, we can share ourselves. Thank you. Please stand as you are willing and able to join us in the opening hymn in the gray hymnal, number 121, We'll Build a Land.
We'll build a land where we find our morning. My name is Dee Beecham. Glad to see everyone here today. In the narthex on the pedestal is our Joys and Cares book. And to those new here today, it is where we can write our joy or care that we would like to share with the congregation. So today, in our book, we have one person that wrote in here, and it says, "The Luckowitz family is proud to announce that Andre has finished boot camp and is officially a Marine." So congratulations. This past year, instead of lighting candles, we are placing stones in our lovely bowl on the altar to remember or mark a milestone. Since this month, our theme is about stories we are telling, I looked up to see if there were any stone stories. Lo and behold, I read about Julie Epp, creator of Stone Stories. Her idea is spreading love one stone at a time. She thinks of stone stories as an experiment of serendipity. Stones with meaningful messages are placed out in the world for people to find in plain sight, with a trust they will end up exactly where they're meant to be. Short messages are left on the stones, such as, "Be awesome, be true to yourself. Spread love everywhere you go. You can make a difference. We all need each other. And anything is possible." So today, when we have a period of silence, think about what you might like to say if you decide to leave a stone message in the world for someone to find. When the singing bowl sounds, please join in placing a stone in the bowl on the altar to remember a loved one or mark a milestone.
Dear unknown, unknowable, yet known by many names, keep us mindful that we are all related, that when one of us is ignored and treated with dis-ease, we all suffer. Today, let each of us commit to welcome the stranger. Let us move beyond our comfort zones and connect with people labeled different and pushed to the edges of society. We can make a difference. We can transform lives. We can bring harmony and healing to the places and spaces where we live, work, and play. Let us keep our hearts and minds open and receptive to the still small voice that calls us to stand witness for those who cannot stand, to speak the truth for justice for those without a voice, and to lead the way on the journey toward wholeness for those without sight. In the spirit of love, compassion, and community, let it be done. Blessed be.
Good morning. My name is Joan McDermott, and I will be leading the responsive reading. I'll be reading the regular, and if you read the italics, and then we'll all join and read the last. We are one, a diverse group of proudly kindred spirits, here not by coincidence, but because we choose to journey together.
We are active and proactive. We care deeply. We live our love as best we can.
We are one. Working, eating, laughing, playing, singing, storytelling, sharing, and rejoicing. Getting to know each other, taking risks, opening up.
Questioning, seeking, searching, trying to understand, struggling, making mistakes, paying attention, asking questions, listening, living our answers, learning to love our neighbors, learning to love ourselves.
Apologizing and forgiving with humility, being forgiven through grace, creating the beloved community together, we are one.
Flashing lights. I saw the flashing lights in my rearview mirror. Scenario one. In my early 20s, early morn, on my way to work, wearing a white nursing uniform. Was I late for work? I really do not remember. Received a warning, no ticket. Did he think someday he might be in that big hospital, me taking care of him? Who knows? Scenario two. Saw the flashing lights. Worst place in my life on the way to the coroner's office. Driving through Cleveland Heights on a familiar road. Distracted, to say the least. Sailed through the stop sign. Explained my story. He said, "Be on your way. Be careful." Scenario three. Saw the flashing lights. Whizzing through the Metro Park. My beeper goes off. Trying to reach a donor family and a place to stop. She's right behind me getting out of her car. Stiff warning and lecture. I deserved it. No ticket. Scenario four. Not again. Saw the flashing lights. Sunday morning, my car wouldn't start. Late for church at East Shore. Going over the speed limit. Stopped, and I flashed a smile, was on my way. I've thought about it.
Ragtime, the musical today. I saw the movie, then read the book by E.L. Doctorow when they originally came out. When I Googled it after I went to the production in late June at Kane Park, I was shocked to realize that the originals were in the early 1980s, not just 10 or 20 years ago, as I had falsely remembered. That original experience was as a history teacher of a period piece on the early 20th century, prior to World War I. The story weaves the lives of fictional but believable people as they live through real events crossing the paths of famous historical figures. The story begins with the assassination of William McKinley and ends with another assassination, that of Archduke Franz Ferdinand, triggering World War I. This is my favorite kind of historical fiction. Enhancing this is the marvelous music of ragtime. From that framework, I convinced my theater-going friends, Susan and Joyce, from high school to go to Kane Park, to the Kane Park production. It was still the marvelous entertainment I had remembered. But much more significantly, I was jolted right to today. I experienced the lives in America today on the PBS NewsHour. The horrible scenes of immigrants as their dreams are dashed before our eyes. The black lives betrayed often even by their own well-meaning allies. The white women working up to demand their own roles and autonomy. And most of all, the clueless white men who assume they are the centers of the world and all else revolves around them. What appeared to be the expected protagonist, father, leaves his wife, mother, for a year of adventure in the Arctic Circle with Admiral Perry. When he returns, he hardly knows his wife, son, and brother. They have been transformed when mother discovers a newborn black baby boy in the garden, takes in the infant's mother, and welcomes his father, who just happens to be a famous ragtime pianist, Colehouse Walker Jr. Father, expecting to be greeted as a hero despite failing to reach the North Pole, continues to address each crisis from his original perspective, failing to succeed solving any of them. As each situation gets worse and worse, meanwhile, the victims of the crises cope as best they can with the horrible circumstances confronting them. The expected hero, Father, continues through the play to assume command, exacerbating each situation he touches. He remains clueless until the end of his life, shortly before the play's climax. Fortunately, the marginalized begin to gain their footing. Don't we ever learn anything as a society? Was I that clueless myself in the early 1980s that I largely missed the real story, too?
And tell our story, let it echo far and wide. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. How justice was our battle, and how justice was denied. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And say to those who blame us for the way we chose to fight, that sometimes there are battles that are more than black or white. And I could not put down my sword when justice was my right. Make them hear you. Go out and tell our story to your daughters and your sons. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And tell them in our struggle we were not the only ones. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. Your sword can be a sermon or the power of the pen. Teach every child to raise his voice, and then my brothers, then will justice be demanded by 10 million righteous men. Make them hear you. When they hear you, I'll be near you again.
The year was 1980. I was in graduate school at Cleveland State University. The Emergadol program was to better prepare teachers who worked with emerging adolescents, those students between fifth and eighth grades. Part of our time was spent in small groups, practicing communication skills, and I will never forget one particular group meeting. Suddenly, tears were rolling down the cheeks of Janet, one of the African-American teachers in our group. We wanted to support her, so she told us what was happening in her life. She and her husband were expecting their first child, so they wanted to move to a larger apartment. But the landlords at place after place were turning them away. I remember being shocked, horrified. In my naive thinking, such problems should have ended with the civil rights movement of the 1960s. How wrong I was. I still look back at that story and think about just how different my world was, and probably still is in many ways, from hers. After all, she and her husband were both college educated, had secure jobs, and a rental history, and yet they had trouble finding housing. On the other hand, when I looked for my very first apartment with a high school friend, we were both just out of college, only 3 months into our first teaching jobs, and had no credit history. Yet, we had no difficulty at all renting exactly the apartment we wanted. Karen Biggin sends her regrets. She has been suffering all week with a very bad respiratory infection, so she will not be able to share her story today.
I originally started sewing clothing because I had a new sewing machine and was relearning an old hobby. I joined sewing groups on the internet to learn how to sew clothes that were comfortable and made out of fabric that I enjoy. Like many people who turned to making their own clothes, I had issues with the fit of ready-made clothing. Things like a long torso and broad shoulders and being plus-sized meant that I was not well-fitted in ready-to-wear clothing. Initially, I found independent pattern designers who marketed PDF-based patterns online. Through the sewing groups I joined and the independent designers and their followers, I received a broad education on how to choose patterns and fabric, and how to sew the patterns and fabric into well-fitting, comfortable clothing that was modified to precisely fit my body. I also learned many lessons on groups of people that were truly disenfranchised by the ready-to-wear fashion industry. Where I am tweaking fit and fabric choice, there are many others who are simply not able to find clothing ready-made for them. It has been the best sort of needed education. One of the greatest strengths of online communities is the ability to connect with a great many people who are from vastly different cultures and experiences than myself. I've come to realize that there are people who are not just choosing fabric they like or taking care to make a fit exactly as they like, but are instead searching for some way to find clothing that allows them to be themselves and express fashion in their necessary clothing. Representation, accessibility, and celebration of their unique needs and outlooks are found only online. Members of transgendered communities who need specialized clothing to help them be able to present to the world an appearance more in line with their sexual identities, individuals who need to have clothing that allow medical devices to be easily accessible through their clothing, or clothing that accommodates braces and other medical needed equipment. Members of the neurodiverse communities, such as my granddaughter who is autistic, who have sensory issues with ready-to-wear clothing. People of color are able to find fabric prints which celebrate their cultures and their appearances. I am receiving my education because of the willingness to share on the part of people and groups that are routinely overlooked. Groups that are sometimes threatened physically, emotionally, and mentally for simply existing are advocates for their communities, share their vulnerabilities, and call people out when they are wrong in their attitudes and statements. I've learned that there are many ways in which I have no idea of another's journey. What for me is tweaking fit and fashion, for others is being able, for the first time, to be served and represented, and be championed and celebrated rather than judged, shunned, and shunted aside. In the past year since joining the Seventh Principles small group, I've learned a lot about how, where, and what I have been born into, white, straight, middle class, has automatically allowed me certain benefits and safeties. We read and discussed a book about the intersection of racial and environmental issues that highlighted my relative ease to live in areas which are not polluted, a freedom that many people of color or lower socioeconomic class lack. At the same time, I got to participate in and observe many conversations online that helped me learn how little the fashion industry serves those who are unique in their color, their gender diversity, their medical needs, and their sizes. I am grateful for the opportunity to know and support designers of fabric and patterns that celebrate diversity and serve diverse populations. Whoops.
We normally have written in the bulletin where our every month where our church is going to share its loose offering. This month, the board's going to be making that decision this afternoon at their board meeting, so we don't know at this point. The offering is a sacrament of this of the free church. It is supported by the voluntary generosity of all who join with us. The offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and values. And if you're new with us this morning, please let the basket pass you by.
On behalf of the leadership here at East Shore, I would like to express a heartfelt thanks for all of the gifts that you shared with us this morning, and I know that our Board of Trustees will do their best to use these resources wisely and diligently. Thank you.
Our closing thought this morning is from John T. Crestwell, Jr., who is a senior minister at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Annapolis, Maryland. Saving Unitarian Universalism. The thing that will save our faith and that will allow us to become better lovers, fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, and friends is building relationships. Learning more about each other, seeing God in all people, places, and things. It's rooted in experience. The more we learn and grow with liberal minds and hearts, the more we see the Spirit emanating. The more we learn about our common destiny, the more we see that we all come from the same source, that we are all capable of good, that God don't make no junk. That the world we have is the world we've collectively created through our thoughts, words, and deeds. And when we see things differently, we start doing things differently. Now please stand as you're willing and able for our closing hymn, number 1007 in the Teal Hymnal. There's a river flowing in my soul.
The benediction today is written by Reverend Joe Cherry, called Prayer for Living Intention. If we have any hope of transforming the world and changing ourselves, we must be bold enough to step into our discomfort, brave enough to be clumsy, loving enough to forgive ourselves and others. May we, as people of faith, be granted the strength to be bold, so brave, and so loving.
Halcyon just wanted me to add an announcement, kind of as a reminder to everyone, a reminder to all of the adults that she will be available afterwards, and she will be reteaching what the children are learning in RE so that all of us can experience what she's teaching and share it with each other.
Now please stand, if you're willing and able, and join me in the bond of union. We join hands in Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, pledging ourselves to an individual religious freedom, which transcends all creeds, not to think alike, but to journey together. Thank you. Go in peace.